The mother of the first person who died from an accidental heroin overdose involving the powerful synthetic opioid carfentanil says she wants to find meaning in her son's death, and that means sharing his story so other addicts get help. GLT correspondent Colleen Reynolds talks with Ricky Lee Beneke. Her 23-year-old son Keegan died November 3rd, even as he was making plans for the future, including taking classes to become a sign language interpreter. Beneke talks about when she realized Keegan had a real problem.
Well, I mean, I know looking back, I felt like most teenagers, he did experiment with different things, and he was open with me about experimenting, but I never thought of it as an addiction. It's just something that high schoolers and young adults may do. So it was probably wasn't until about, spring of early summer of this year that I really noticed and thought that he had severe addiction issues, I guess, is when he had to enter inpatient rehab for it.
What made you realize this is a crisis situation?
Well, it was a blow-up, actually. It was a crisis situation in the fact that the crisis team had to be called, and he went to the emergency room, and a bed was found for him, and he willingly went. He admitted he did have a problem, and so I naively thought by him going through rehab, everything would be fine after that, and I found out later it wasn't.
Well, let's go back again to when Keegan was a teenager. He also had some mental health issues that started emerging.
Yes, he was diagnosed as having severe depression and anxiety at an early age in high school, and was put on different prescription medications at that time, things that he didn't like how it made him feel, so he did not use them, and he kind of always went through that and struggled with the fact that he did have depression, anxiety, and later was diagnosed bipolar. And it was very hard for him to accept that he had these mental health issues and disabilities, really, that needed medication. And he told me later he didn't want to take the medications after he admitted being an addict and did not like having to depend on something, even though mental health issues are completely different, you know, and taking the medication as prescribed rather than being an addict and taking illegal drugs.
So as a teenager, around what age did you first start realizing that these mental health symptoms were showing themselves?
Probably freshman year of high school, I would say, really, maybe sophomore.
So he's about 12 or 13?
Oh, probably 14.
Okay. And when you caught him drinking or whatever was occurring then, did you put anything together like, oh, maybe he's self-medicating?
I really did not think of that connection at the time. It was basically just sitting down with him as a mother, talking to her son and explaining, you know, the reasons why he shouldn't drink or smoke any type of illegal drugs and having that conversation with him. It really did not occur to me that he had any type of addiction problem at that point.
Well, your family's had a lot of tragedy, and we probably should address the one that people might be familiar with when they realize that you were married to Jeff Pilo, who ended up going away to prison for being a serial rapist. How do you think that might have impacted what was going on with Keegan at the time? Help us with the time frame.
Keegan was very young when this first happened. He was probably, I wanted to say, around 11 or 12 when his father was first arrested. And like any young child that age, not having a father in his life throughout the high school years, I'm sure, and from our conversations, I know it did impact him greatly. And Keegan and I, did have a very good relationship. We could talk a lot about it, but there were certain things that I know he talked to other people more, things that he couldn't tell his mom or didn't want to tell his mom, didn't want to hurt me. And so not having a father in his life, of course, did affect him, but that's not what caused the addiction. Addiction is something that I've learned a lot about very quickly over the past year. And it's, you know, these things that occur, tragedies in people's lives, not having your father around certainly cause pain and trauma. People want to numb themselves from the pain. So while it kind of goes hand in hand, one did not cause the other. Addiction is really a disease. It is very much a part of a person's physiological self, and it's very hard to fight through and go through the steps and being able to stay sober. Because I think that's what I learned I was wrong about, was that when Keegan went through rehab, I really felt that, okay, everything's going to be better now. Like, the addiction was cured. And addiction, like a lot of diseases, is not something that can be cured. It's always there. So different struggles that come up play into having that urge for one more fix.
There are triggers.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
So when your ex-husband, Jeff Pilo, was sentenced to prison, you made some decisions to move, right?
We moved right around that time frame. You'll have to forgive my memory is a little foggy for that time frame. It was not a very happy point in any of our lives. And we did move around quite often, actually, and ended up coming back to Illinois about 8 years ago, I think.
But Keegan finished high school in Indiana.
And he actually finished high school here in Illinois. We moved back and he graduated from El Paso Gridley High School.
One other piece of that time frame was you had an evolution about the guilt or innocence of your husband at the time, and not everybody in the family followed suit.
We all had our differences of opinions, and I let the kids choose to think what they wanted. They knew that the reasons I did divorce their dad, but I left it up to them. I mean, he's their father. I know he loved them and they love him, and it was up to them to continue the relationship with their dad. Just like any other couple that goes through a divorce, I don't mean to tear away their father. Their father has already been torn away from them. It's just that I chose to no longer be married to him. And although there was some friction at the time, all of the kids really eventually understood why I did what I did and the reasons behind it, even though they might not have been happy with it at the time.
I'm Colleen Reynolds. This is Sound Ideas, and we're talking with Ricky Lee Beneke, whose 23-year-old son Keegan had an accidental overdose in November, and Keegan was the first who had a combination of heroin and carfentanil, which is the most lethal ingredient that is being mixed nowadays with heroin. Part of the reason you're talking to us is you really want people to understand a couple of things: the power of addiction and really putting out the warning of the danger of what is out there and available in Bloomington Normal. You really didn't know.
No, I didn't. I had no idea. A lot of people think, first of all, when you talk about heroin, they, at least in my mind, I pictured the stereotypical heroin user, maybe some homeless person shooting up. And that is not the case at all. I'm finding out that heroin can be used in many different forms. I've learned out later that Keegan actually snorted the heroin and he kept it very well hidden from me. He did not, I don't think, use it that often because he did not appear to be intoxicated very often around me either. It was very rare that I saw this, especially after him going through Chestnut. But in the couple of months leading up to his death, I noticed a couple of times where he seemed maybe a little different. And when I confronted him about it, he promised he wasn't using anything. So I still believed him. I thought he's an adult. He would tell me if he needs help. I told him again to make sure that he talked to his counselor, and I'm here if he ever wanted to talk about it. The reason that I really want the awareness is actually for Keegan, because he really cared about helping others. He really wanted to be sober. He really tried to go through the steps of being sober, and he was really trying to make a difference in his life. and had plans for the future. He was going to go back to school and become a sign language interpreter, and just all sorts of dreams that he had. But because the addiction, the disease that had a hold of him, I'm sure caused him to not tell me the full truth because he didn't want to hurt me. He didn't want me to think any less of him.
We know that coroner classified his death as an accidental overdose. You knew that immediately because...
I'm the one that found him, yes. And actually, he had literally looked like he had stood up from the kitchen table and was going to go to bed and just fell over the kitchen table, and that's where I found him. I also found later a note on the counter, which scared me at first. But then I read the note, and he had written a note to me saying, asking if he could borrow my car the next day so that he could go to the gym and work out. So he had a lot of things planned, a lot of things ahead of him, even for the next day. I just hope that somehow this warning or that his death will mean something to somebody else to help them realize that there are so many dangers out there. Keegan told me once that heroin was easier to get a hold of in this town than marijuana even was. It completely took me by surprise. But I think the thing that I'm trying to do is to make sure that people are aware that if you have an addiction, there is help available to try to get that help, because you don't know what you're getting. You don't know what your heroin or your cocaine or any of the other drugs could be mixed with. And the pain that it's caused me to find my son like that, the pain it's caused his entire family and all of his friends, his nieces and nephews who adored their Uncle Keegan, that is not something he would have wanted. That is not something any family should have to go through. There is help. Just try to reach out. Or if you're a family member and you notice these things, try to encourage to get help. Just, I mean, it's very much to me like playing a game of Russian roulette, because you have no idea what is being mixed in these things. Very much lethal.
Well, and you must still have some anxiety because you have a daughter who also has struggled with addiction. You must still be worried at some level.
I am. Shayla's been very much going through recovery, and she's doing quite well. And now I know, and I think that's why I worry even more, is because addiction is always there. It's never going to be cured. But I think from our talks that we've had, I'm hoping that the loss of her brother and seeing what it did will help deter maybe those times when the addiction wants to take hold and she wants to use. But she'll think about her brother, she'll think about the rest of the family, and she'll think about how she feels and not use and continue to get the help that she is getting.
So as we wrap this up, Ricky Lee, is there any other advice that you would have for parents who are worried about their own children?
If you're worried about your own children, or see any signs that you think are any type of drug use, I encourage talking. Keegan and I talked a lot, and I found out different things as we talked. Encourage them to get help, but also know that if you're thinking, well, this would never happen to me, this, you know, my child would never do that. Addiction is something that, you know, there's no set economic class, ethnicity. I mean, it doesn't discriminate. It goes across all the lines. Addiction is truly a disease, but you can get the help to overcome that. And I would encourage the parents to really seek out the help, even if it's just for themselves, to know what the resources are and not give up. And not, you know, if you're questioning, if you're wondering, have that conversation.
What about, you know, families who have children who come home and maybe they've been drinking, or it seems like maybe they were smoking pot? Is there a stronger reaction that they should have now than maybe back when you were a teenager?
I really don't know. I mean, alcohol can be just as addicting as heroin or cocaine. Prescription pills can be addicting. I mean, there's so many different types of addiction out there. I think the best thing to do would to be talking to someone who really understands or knows a professional, to see what kind of resources are available out there. Calling PATH, for example, to get those resources, to be able to fully understand what's going on.
We're hearing a lot about the opioid crisis. With Keegan, did it start out with painkillers and then move to heroin?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. He really told me that I didn't want to know all of the types of drugs he experimented with. And I naively and very much did not press the issue, and I wish now I would have pressed that issue, looking back.
Was that at the time you went into rehab?
That was shortly before the crisis situation, before rehab.
And with your daughter, do you know what were opioids, or have they been a factor with her?
They used to, yes, definitely. It's so prevalent, and it's so available, and I think that's something that we need to work on to change, especially now that deadly materials are being mixed in with them.
Ricky Lee, is there anything else we haven't covered or talked about that you wanted to share?
If you're concerned about your family member, listen to those concerns. Don't dismiss them simply because the person that you love told you everything's fine. If you have those concerns, try to reach out and really get help, look for help, or encourage them to get help. I wish I would have pressed more instead of simply taking his word that everything was fine when it obviously wasn't.
Ricky Lee Beneke speaking with GLT's correspondent Colleen Reynolds.